And we're back. Thanks for staying tuned to WVFF 97.7 FM, and now more true crime in the Lowcountry.
Both the email and Becky Hill's Facebook assertion came in on that Monday.
But that's my point. I mean, how could he actually act on something or discuss something if he doesn't know that that email is accurate and that there was a Facebook post?
So he waited.
The email isn't about the Facebook post, Frank. The email is about the conversation, the Domino's pizza lady, the two separate things that he has. He should have been declaring a mistrial, by the way. Yeah.
So the next day,
Becky Hill's lying about the Facebook post. Christine Avery is lying about what these tenants supposedly told her. Two separate lies.
So then the end of Tuesday, February 28th, Crosby is then taken into judge's chambers again. And she's got two attorneys from both sides are there. I think maybe Creighton Waters and Donald Zelenka, or maybe it was David Fernandez. I'm not sure.
No, according to the transcript, Dick is there. Dick Griffin is there. Jim Griffin, Dick Harpootlian, Creighton Waters, Alan Wilson, and maybe even Philip Marcus.
It says a host of attorneys, but I double-checked with Myra. She's like, all those attorneys weren't in the room. She goes, there was only two attorneys from each side. And the court reporter in the
They're signed. They're signed. It's in the transcript. It's in the transcript that was attached to Dick Harpootlian's pleadings. I have it. I just don't want to risk this call.
I know it. But all I'm telling you is what Myra said.
Okay, but Myra's memory might not be 1,000% on this. It's a matter of public record.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter. So you've got attorneys for the state and for the prosecution and the defense in there. Part of the transcript, the court asks her, when it says the court, it's Judge Newman, he says, and you work at the, and she responds, I work at a monkey farm. The court, monkey farm, what do you do there? Sure, I work in the lab, for the lab, all I do is watch monkeys. Now, what's important to note here is that what is supposedly in that anonymous email was, I work at this place, and the person that I work with has a landlord, and the landlord's on the court, and apparently they work at the monkey farm. So it wasn't Myra Crosby. It wasn't Juror 785. They said the person who is talking to this person I work with at Domino's Pizza, their landlord works at the monkey farm. So now you've got monkey farm among monkey farm. Okay? You got that?
Yeah. The thing that throws me for a loop is that when Newman asked the question, where do you work? And they said, at the monkey farm. I'm surprised that he said, me too. I watch monkeys all day.
No. Frank, stop it. But the thing is that what Newman is trying to do is to determine if Myra is the person that is the subject matter of Christine Avery's email.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
at this point,
she's
got to be saying, "I got a mistrial here. I've got a mistrial keep going now."
Yeah. And what we're also saying is that the full unabridged transcript of this meeting with these attorneys and Judge Newman and Myra Crosby is under seal, and the state won't release it. Okay. But they released a portion of it. But at the end of it, Newman
says
a name.
Wait a minute. Dick Harpootlian, I have a copy. I have the portions that were, some of it I have, because Dick Harpootlian attached it to the what he filed on September 5th of 2024 and what he filed in October of 2024. Where did Dick Harpootlian get that much of it? Did he get that from Joe McCullough?
That was what the state produced, and they called it a summarization of the conversation. It's not a full transcript, it's a summarization. And according to Myra, and she wrote it in her book, when the state uses the word summarization, they're lying.
Yeah, I know. But that's rhetoric and hyperbole. But Jim, if you look at it, it's formatted.
No, it's
not formatted as
a
summary.
What she's saying is what. No.
I know
what
she's saying. I'm just saying that at some point your credibility isn't. But Jim, the page The documents that Harputlian attached are in the form of a verbatim numbered transcript. They're not a summary. A summary wouldn't be formatted that way. A summary would be formatted as a paragraph.
All I'm telling you, and you can take this information and do with it whatever you want, is that her attorney, Joe McCullough, and her have both told me that what was presented is not the full transcript. You can sit and argue that it is all day long.
Jim, saying it's not the full transcript, I'm not disputing it's not the full transcript. You said it was a summary. It's not a summary. It's verbatim parts of the transcript. It's not a summary involves editing. It's not a summary. It's parts verbatim.
They edited the whole thing and only put in the parts they wanted to, which is like, I got a name now. And the court says, a name? Clifford Dandridge. Oh, boy, I'm not too pleased about the clerk interrogating a juror as opposed to coming to me and bringing it to me. Judge Newman. Jim Griffin says, yes, I'm surprised to hear that. Newman responds,
there is the mistrial right there. There is the mistrial under Remmer and under all United States Supreme Court precedent right there. And Newman
Absolutely.
Is what, asleep? Yeah, it's right there. You don't need to go beyond. You don't need to go one more word as far as other than when we want to go convict Becky. So we keep talking about it because we want Becky held accountable this is so wrong. But there's the mistrial right there.
You got to remember, we're only days away from the end of this trial. So I'm sure he's like, I don't want to call a mistrial.
It doesn't matter whether he wants to or not. It's his job. It's his job. And he failed. So when you have Will Folks and Fitz News and anybody saying he was a great judge, no, he was not. He's an incompetent boob. Ergo, boob.
But here's some more. Okay, he's a boob. So here's some more information. So jury and or the trial ends at what, 5 o'clock ish, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to the jury room. She has a cigarette, whatever it is. She meets at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. With the attorneys and Judge Newman, and they discuss that email. So what happens is, and then she leaves, but what happens is that night, so by the way, this is in chambers, in cameras, at chambers meeting. It is not made for the public. The media did not broadcast it. The court didn't broadcast it. The defense attorneys, the prosecutors, nobody said a word about this, okay? But what happened that night is very important on that Tuesday night. That Tuesday night, two SLED officers, after they got the names from Myra, two SLED officers went to her tenant's place of residence at about 10 o'clock at night and asked them to come outside, put one in one car, put one in the other. One of the SLED officers was on the witness list. The other SLED officer was an investigating officer in the Murdaugh murders. So now you've got this thing being tainted forever. And they talked to them. And what they spoke to those tenants about is also under seal. The state is not allowing anybody besides Myra and her attorney, Joe McCullough, to view it. And so...
So if we don't... So if Becky is never tried, we will never... This shenanigans is not relevant. It's not relevant in Alec Murdaugh's appeal at all anymore because they've already filed the appeal. And so the public will not understand the malfeasance that went into this because all of this will have to come out in Becky Hill's trial because it's not relevant for Alec Murdaugh. In a second trial, none of this is relevant. A second trial, we start again. None of what they did is relevant. So this kind of malfeasance that is outrageous, absolutely outrageous, they're going to get away with it. They're going to get away with it because there's no venue. There's no charges pending anywhere where this issue is being raised by anybody. And frankly,
what? Yeah, we're starting to get really dicey here right now. So 5:30, 6 o'clock, how long do you think that meeting lasts? Maybe a half hour, 45 minutes. So you're talking about 6 to 7 o'clock, okay? 3 hours later, the SLED agents go to those tenants' house and interview them. Then they come back a half hour later after they interview him and say, we have a subpoena for you to come to the courthouse tomorrow at 9 a.m. So they agree. They will go to the courthouse the next day on March 1st to go to the courthouse. However, we are still talking about hours afterwards, and at about 9 p.m. that night, on that Tuesday night, February 28th, none other than Lunar Shark podcaster and attorney Eric Bland goes on a YouTube broadcast of surviving the survivor on that same night. And this is what he had to say that night, just a few hours after the in-camera private meeting, never broadcasted to any media. This is what he had to say, and I'm quoting. Jurors that got on there that know the Murdaughs. And then there was a note that was sent to the judge today. And I do know about that note. And it may have been a juror has made a comment. But, you know, is one juror strong enough to, I don't think so. Not in that jury room. End quote, Eric Bland. Somebody,
first of all, Eric needs a smack in the head because not one of those phrases, there's no declarative sentence, there's not a noun and a verb in any of that. But how in the world did he know, I'm just joking, I'm not joking actually, but anyway, how in the world did Eric Bland at 9 o'clock that night have any knowledge of that unless Creighton Waters is leaking to Eric Bland? It's as simple as that.
Well, because somebody leaked it to Eric Bland.
Well, Dick and Jim weren't. It's either Boob Newman or Creighton Waters. Because somebody was. See, how are we going to hold these people accountable? How are we going to hold
the person that Eric Bland? Who is the person that Eric Bland on the prosecution that he publicly said numerous times over and over and over again? He is my friend. We talk every day. I text him at 6 o'clock in the morning. We talk about strategy. We do this. We do that. They are friends. Who is that person on the prosecution?
Creighton Waters.
Now, I'm not saying that Creighton Waters sent that, leaked that to him. What I'm saying is when I talk to you about things that people say and do that they do, you have to look at that. The actions that people do, and the actions between him and Bland, where they texted and talked every single day about everything.
So, Jim, I got two questions now. Do you think this is the right thing to have happen? No. How do we hold Creighton Waters and Eric Bland accountable? In what venue, in what forum, how are they held accountable for this?
The Fed.
Who has the will? Because I think this is extraordinarily damaging to all of us. When they can manipulate a trial this way, in this high profile of case with this allegedly powerful person, Alec Murdaugh, then you and I have no choice, no chance at all to a fair trial, period, because we don't have the resources or the political.
I think the only option where there would be some recourse, and it won't happen, is if this scenario was the belief of Harpootlian, and he went to the Bar Association and brought some kind of ethics complaint up.
We all can go to the Bar Association. It's the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court for the state of South Carolina's Office of Disciplinary Counsel. We all equally have a right to complain about what happened. But that is not enough. Losing his bar association, losing his right to practice law is not sufficient.
No, they would never do that. They wouldn't suspend his license. They would give him some kind of punitive warning. Do you know how hard it is?
Let me go back to my question. Yes, I do know how hard it is. Let me go back to my question. What do we do to effectively strategize holding these people accountable? Because right now, Eric Bland is still riding the media circus. He goes from media outlet to media outlet, thumping his chest that he's this great attorney that did this great thing. And this is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous.
I think that's another radio show, but here's what's important, is that Myra wrote in her book She's like, to add to this, she goes, Eric Bland knew about the anonymous email before I did and was talking about it on YouTube TV. The anonymous email was about me, and Bland knew before me. So that tells you right there that they
now,
did
who
not
said
tell
that?
Her about an email.
Who said that,
they didn't
Jim?
Tell her about the email.
Myra.
This is Myra. So they didn't tell her they received an anonymous email. They were asking her questions about the people and dominoes and all this.
Right.
But they didn't tell her it was an email.
So she has no idea. She has no idea what they're really asking, no idea how to answer it, because she doesn't know what they're talking about. So she has, this is not a question of her being misleading or deceitful or lying or whatever. It's, I have no clue what you're talking about, but I might help to get you on track, you boob, you, if you gave me a fair chance to understand what the hell you're talking about. And they were actually talking about two separate things, a Facebook post that didn't exist and this claims that she said these things that aren't true.
Right. But the important thing to remember is that the discussion with the juror in camera session with Judge Newman, they did not discuss the email. Eric Bland went on Surviving the Survivor and talked about a note that was sent to the judge about the juror making a comment. How does he know there was a note sent to the judge when the juror, who the note was about, didn't even know about it after she got out of the meeting with the judge just hours prior?
That's the title of your article. That is the title of your article, Jim. And this is what I would do in Elaine's perfect world. Nobody move, but you all get separated. Now, you're not going to sit here and collude about this. And we're going to take sworn testimony from each of you. And we're going to get to the bottom of this nonsense right now. And I'm talking about you, Creighton Waters, and you, Eric Bland, and right on down the line. How did you know about this?
Let's see cell phones. Let's see who was calling who at that time of the day, right? But so now we're on the next day. So let's go to March. So we've got the 28th of February. Sled agents were out. They interviewed the people. That's under seal. They're supposed to come back the next day, and they do. They come in at 9 a.m., and they're sat there in a room by themselves until 5 o'clock.
All right, however, Jim, I got a question. I have a question. Sled interviewed the witnesses, or they interviewed whoever?
Only the tenants.
Only
all right.
The tenants.
Now,
two tenants.
They interviewed or they served them with a subpoena?
They interviewed, and allegedly a subpoena, although they never saw it. They just said, hey, we got a subpoena. But they were never handed a subpoena.
All right, now,
they basically ordered them to come to court and sit in a room in the courthouse.
Yes.
From 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night.
No, I mean, the question I have is, did the sled guys actually ask questions of these people?
Yes, the night before. Yes, the night before.
Yes.
This night of February 27th.
That's not their job.
And by the way, the body cam video is under seal.
That's not their job. They're out there.
Wait, do you see how much information is under seal? The body cam footage of the sled agents encountering these tenants in the late hour after 9 o'clock at night on February 27th is under seal. Can't be released. You got a little Gestapo down there in South.
This about sled agents interrogating people or asking questions. You have to have a crime. There has to be a crime before they can start investigating something. Now, was there a crime, or were they looking for a crime?
I don't know. You
follow what I'm saying? That's not their function. That's not their function at all. What is this? And I got to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something crazy. This is a clown show. This is a clown show. And if you, Elaine, want to go and you want to try and get somebody disbarred, have at it. Because I'm going to tell you something.
I really don't care.
I really don't care. Alex is getting a new trial. Hopefully. Listen, it would be very convenient for Jim and I and you, Elaine, if the trial was held in Colleton. It's not going to be held in Colleton. They're going to have a change of venue, all right? And this guy hopefully will get a fair trial, all right? Because
let me keep going because I'm getting to the good.
Go ahead, Jim.
So on the next day, the day after the tenants were interviewed by Sled, 6:50 a.m. Bland sends a tweet. He says, "Big day, closing arguments. This is where the attorneys sum up, blah, 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 blah." And at the end, he says, "Right now, at least 10 jurors' minds are made up, and there may be two on the fence." So,
how in the hell did he know that?
So, and that's what's interesting, is that he says that. But here's what gets more interesting. And we talked about this in the very beginning of what people do all the time and then what they don't do. And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to pick on Liz Farrell because this was her tweet that started this. And Mandy Matney and Beth Brayton, all a Luna Shark, they together, I mean, that's all their job was at that time, was podcasting the murder of Paul and Maggie, an investigator. For 4 years they've been doing this. So they have thousands of tweets about the Murdaugh and the Murdaugh trial. They have, at least I stopped counting, over 50 tweets that mentioned the word jury or juror during the trial between those three. But here's the thing. Remember the dates. Friday, February 27th, that was the day Becky said she saw the Facebook post.
That was pizza day. Okay.
Between Friday, February 27th, 2023, and March 2nd, 2023, the only post I could find between the three of those people that said anything about a juror. Now, you got to remember, Eric Bland is also on Luna Shark, and he's out there spouting around that, you know, one of the jurors passed a note. One of the jurors passed a note. We got maybe 10 jurors for and two against. He's a Luna Shark podcaster. He works for them. And they don't say a thing about anything on a jury, at least on X, okay? At least on X. The only thing that's posted is March 1st. Mandy Matney says, "The system." This is a quote that she's quoting Creighton Waters on the 1st at 6:09 p.m. on March 1st. She says, this is the quote, "The system depends on people who take that oath as jurors and are willing to honor that oath and make the tough decision to vindicate these victims, to vindicate Maggie and Paul who were cut down in the prime of their lives," end quote, Creighton Waters. That's all she wrote. Now, I see about the vindication part, but the first part really kind of gets to me, where it says the system depends on people who take an oath as jurors and are willing to honor that oath. And yet right now, on that day, you've got a juror who is being questioned for the oath that she took. And not a word is being said except for that tweet right there. So it's not what people say sometimes. It's also what they don't say, which blows my mind. When you have people that do thousands of tweets and talk about jurors at least 50 times during that trial, and the days between the 27th and the 1st, which is the most activity.
Wait a minute. Jim, February has 28 days. February has 28 days. So the days between February 27th and March 1st is February 27th, February 28th, and March 1st. So it's a very short time. Well, if you count all the days, you're saying that it's early in the morning on March 1st and it's late at night on February 27th. The other one is they didn't talk about this for 4 years because Maggie and Paul were killed on June 7th of 2021 and the trial was in January. It went into February of 2023. So that's 19 months, not 4 years. Okay, so we're getting – when we exaggerate
She was investigating the Murdaughs for 4 years, going back to 2019 with the boat crash.
I see your point.
I think she was pulling up. I think she was building up a head of steam. But yes, okay. So yes, so she has a track record. I agree with you. I think you've just opened another can of worms about her investment in this narrative that we know goes back to Stephen Smith and his death on June 15th of June 8th of 2015. July 8th.
So Myra writes in her book, she goes, listen, I will testify under oath, my husband and I and my tenants, that nothing was said about anything that, would deem to be inappropriate. Of course she's a juror, and of course she can talk to them about whatever. And, oh, you're on the jury? Yeah, I'm on the jury. That's all I can say. You know what I mean? And then we can talk about refrigerators and pizzas and all we want. She is allowed to talk about that. But the million-dollar question is, would someone coach Christine Avery to what to write to Judge Newman?
We talked about that. I don't know. Yeah, probably Joe McCullough.
Avery is a well-known Lunar Shark Discord member, and she's posted in that Discord well over 50 times. But here's what gets interesting, is that when your email finally arrives to Newman, it's the belief of many that the email was written by a professional. And I asked Joe McCullough a hypothetical question about his experience with anonymous emails and how they are written. Okay, I didn't ask him about that email. I didn't ask him what was in it. I asked him a hypothetical question about anonymous emails. And the question was, if someone known for subpar grammar and spelling were credited with an email written at a high level of proficiency, could that suggest collaboration or influence from someone with stronger writing skills, such as an attorney or journalist? And McCullough's response to me was, the hypothetical you suggest of a person of subpar English skills, linguistic or writing skills, producing a polished, urbane writing product would generally and logically suggest assistance from another's authorship. So I'm reading the tea leaves and between the lines here, and if I do that, I think McCullough is...
No, Jim, you just skipped over something that's so important here. It's this. Joe McCullough cannot... He has seen the full transcript of the in-camera hearing, and so has Myra. And when they sued to get that released, part of it was Myra's getting tired of being defamed by people calling her a liar, and the full transcript would reveal that she's telling the truth. So, but the court has said, we're not going to release these. You signed an agreement. We let you see these because you signed an agreement. You agreed to not have them released, and we're not going to release them at this time. So I think at some point, Myra will be vindicated. But when you get this quote from Joe McCullough, this is not just the same as getting a general quote from Frank or me or anyone else. This is a man who cannot talk about what he's seen, but he has seen it, and so he is as eloquently and as to the limits imposed because he cannot reveal what he saw. This is as close as he can get to saying there's no way in Hades that Christine Avery wrote that email. It suggests it was written by a journalist or an attorney. That's what he's saying. Right. So it's a much more powerful statement.
Why did I say attorney? Because
he's referring to Eric Bland. He's referring to Eric Bland.
Christine Avery herself, in a public forum, wrote, I am the one who emailed Judge Newman about the egg juror talking. Then Dick called me after trial. She wrote the word trail, not trial, to ask me to meet. I reported without him knowing. Thankfully, I did. It's helping Becky. Between Lunar Shark and Mark Tinsley guiding me. And then she goes on to thank them for all the months of thanks for all the past few months that they've helped her. And that was from September 25th and October 15th. Now, Mark Tinsley testified at the Murdaugh trial that he feared he would not be able to continue with a lawsuit on behalf of Mallory Beach, the young woman who died in the boat crash, right? And he initially believed the shootings might have been retaliation for Beach's death. Partly it was, and thought it would generate too much sympathy for Murdaugh, if you remember that. But Tinsley also went on to make statements in author Valerie Berline's book of not being able to sleep and his stomach being tore up and just having these thoughts that Murdaugh might get off with a hung jury or not a guilty verdict. And what happened with Tinsley after he was found guilty, Murdaugh was found guilty? He settles in.
Greg Parker coughed up $25 million, supposedly.
Yeah, over $20 million.
Yeah. Okay, so, what are we going to do with this? It's not good. It doesn't look good.
Murdaugh got arrested.
Okay, So I've thought that Tinsley was behind this, and Mark Bland, Eric Bland and Mark Tinsley, going back to when Eric Bland first filed on September 15th of 2021. So I get that we have, when we look at this narrative about Alec Murdoch, we've totally ignored what seems like a conspiracy among a group of people, and they may have been well-intentioned. I don't know.
I don't know what group of people. I'm telling you what the facts are and what is put out on the public domain of what people who are involved.
Jim is putting out the dots, and connecting the dots are up to you.
Connected. Frank, I get it. People have connected these dots. Jim is not the first to connect these dots. So he's not the only one, so he's not vulnerable to getting sued at all.
The haters are coming after me pretty hard, but what we do know is that Myra's never spoke about the trial to anyone, not even me. So, I mean, her son didn't even know she was a juror. That's how little she spoke about it. Her own son didn't know she was a juror. Now, her son is a grown adult.
So, Jim, think we're going to do about all of this? None of this is good. It's a great screenplay, by the way. It's a great movie. Actually, it should be a docuseries because a movie is going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most, where a 10-episode docuseries would be much more compelling, and you could go into these details. But I think that...
I don't know who set Christine Avery up, but it's clear from that timeline that there was a scheme developed by someone or a conspiracy by a group to all see that Myra Crosby, juror 785, who was crying in the jury box, who handed Alex Murdaugh those tissues, was one of two people that were going to vote not guilty. And according to Justice Toll, Becky Hill wanted to write that book for her Big Lake house, and a guilty verdict, according to witnesses, sells more books. So I don't know what the hell happened, but all I know is that there is a whole lot of smoke and there is fire just boiling underneath.
Well, let's leave it at that. And that was really quite an eloquent summation to this whole thing. The minutiae I can get lost in, but your summary was just prophetic.
I mean, I don't even know. Maybe Christine Avery is a true hero, or maybe she's a patsy who's going to take the fall when Murdaugh is granted a new trial on jury tampering or other trial issues. But somebody, if Murdaugh gets a new trial, the state's going to go after somebody.
All right, let's leave it there for today. I don't think anybody's going after anybody. I think Alex is going to get a new trial. I think the change of venue is going to be probably in your backyard, Jim. And I'll give you the pop-up. You can camp outside the courthouse. All righty. Listen, guys, this is a mess. It hurts you're hurting my brain. And you want to know the God's honest truth is there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you know, who's going to take an action on this thing?
I don't think there's nothing, Frank. It's not. There's nothing you can do about it. It's what are we going to do about it?
All right. Well, you figure out what we're going to do about it, and we'll take this up, and you can tell us about that in the next episode. Next week we got a full week, huh? Full week available. Oh no, we have New Year's Day in there, and New Year's Eve. All right. Hey guys. Listen, we're going to drag this out. We're going to drag this out into the first week or the second week of the New Year's. I'm going to try and get you guys together sometime next week. Think about, and Elaine, I want to hear what can be done. I don't want to hear what the problem is. I want to hear what the solution is. And you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM Red Brick Patriot Radio. This has been True Crime in the Lowcountry with Elaine Greenwood of Super Woke News. You can find her on X and Jim Cask from crimeandcask.com. And we're out of here, guys, and I thank you too much.
And that's all the time we have for now on True Crime in the Lowcountry. We hope you've enjoyed our in-depth coverage of the murder trial so far. Don't worry. We'll be back soon to dive even deeper into the case and bring you more chilling stories from the Lowcountry region. We thank you for listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.